Paediatricians are calling for more research into infant reflux disease to help with an earlier diagnosis. Reflux affects between 8 and 20% of infants, but parents often find it hard to get a medical diagnosis. Emma Searcian prepared this report.
It's really upsetting because I think as a parent, the thing you really want to do is to at least be able to feed them and keep them safe. And I just felt like a bit of a failure, you know, I couldn't even feed my child.
For the parents of a baby with severe gastroesophageal reflux disease, life is a constant struggle of feeding and soothing. Mother of two, Maddie Black from the New South Wales Mid-North Coast, says her youngest child, Felix, has been in and out of hospital with severe reflux since he was a small baby.
I just felt like I could not keep him hydrated. I could not keep him safe. I just was terrified all the time.
After refusing to feed due to the pain he was in, Felix is now fed through a tube connected to his stomach for most of each day.
I feel like we take half a hospital every time we leave the house.
The Reflux Infant Support Association was set up to help affected families. Joanne Matthews has been involved with the association since 2012 after her firstborn child, Charlotte, was diagnosed with severe reflux as a baby.
She had to be held upright for her to sleep, and she would sleep in sort of bouts of about 45 minutes. The general fallacy that exists that a baby won't starve themselves, you know, if they're hungry enough, they'll eat. They actually won't, because in these cases, the most important bodily function that exists for a baby is breathing. And if you can imagine that refluxate is coming back up into the throat, essentially what they are doing is pulling away from feeding to protect their capacity to breathe.
Ms. Matthews says the Reflux Infant Support Association recently surveyed 500 parents about their experience caring for an infant with reflux in the first 12 months of life, and the results were concerning.
20% of them decided they would never have another child. It was just too difficult. 60% put it in the category of 9 or 10 out of 10 in terms of the effect on their life. There was evidence of financial distress, of marital stress. 28% of them had been diagnosed with postnatal depression or anxiety.
Ms. Matthews says 40% of parents also reported that the health professionals caring for their child did not adequately support them, nor seem to understand reflux and its complications.
A number of practitioners do respond with, "You'll be okay, that's just normal behaviour." And unfortunately, it results in the babies are put at risk. I know of some terrible stories of babies being repeatedly taken into emergency departments having blue episodes from reflux.
Dr. Johnny Tates is a paediatrician in Sydney with a special interest in infant feeding problems. He agrees that infant reflux often remains undiagnosed for many months.
So the parents often feel unheard and are left to feel disempowered. It's a difficult area because there's no specific diagnostic test. So I think there needs to be a lot more education about what infantile reflux looks like, particularly GPs who don't have a lot of experience with young babies.
Dr. Tates says undiagnosed reflux can cause further health issues for babies and young children.
And invariably I have to use a feeding specialist because that baby's developed oral aversion. So they're so used to being in pain, and then they feed, which relieves the pain temporarily, then causes acid to be produced and then causes pain. So babies aren't silly. They very quickly realise that every time their feet, it's causing them pain.
Joanne Matthews, meanwhile, urges affected parents not to give up.
If it means you need to go from GP to GP, go from GP to GP. Your baby can't speak up for themselves. You have to speak up for them.
That's Joanne Matthews from the Reflux Infants Support Association, ending Emma Siosian's report.